everybody. My name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here at Legacy, whether you're joining us on a screen or right here in the sanctuary. We're so glad you decided to spend a part of your Sunday and Confirmation Sunday here with us. So it was last November during the week of Thanksgiving that I had a racing heartbeat, I had chest pains, and I had sweat and chills. So I go to the doctor that we all go to first, Google, and glad I'm not the only one who does this. And I go through the symptoms, and they match up nearly exactly with a heart attack. God, well, this is not good. So I go into the doctor, and they do all the checks they do, blood work, EKG, blood pressure. Everything was 100% normal, perfectly healthy. Then the doctor asked, has anything been more stressful than normal? Said, well, doc, fall in ministry as a pastor. I mean, just more stressful than normal, or just, you know, more stress in the summertime. Well, that's pretty typical. I serve as the chair of the pastor of the board that serves to approve new pastors and cares for the other pastors. That's not an easy job in the best of times. We're not in the best of times. We are not living in the most stable denominational times. I just come off of an all-church meeting. And the few weeks before, leading up to this doctor's appointment, I had officiated two very difficult funerals. Friends, I hit the wall. I didn't have a heart attack. It was a panic attack. It was an anxiety attack. I pushed myself so far without any kind of rest or debrief with my counselor, my body fought back. My body said, you need to rest. You need to find better ways to deal with all the stress coming your way. And you, the church, had no idea because I kept going, kept plugging away, kept showing up, kept smiling, kept doing all the things that are part of my job. And I'm guessing this morning some of you know exactly what I mean. You keep showing up, you keep smiling, but inwardly you are battling real depression, or you're battling some kind of ongoing anxiety, or you just feel stressed. There is just too much, like you cannot handle it all. You feel like at any moment you could just snap. You might just burn out. You feel like you're not okay. If you find yourself there this morning struggling mentally, you need to know you are not alone. You are far from alone. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look for peace of mind that God can bring, not only through spiritual practices of prayer, scripture reading, worship, community, but also through doctors, through the mental health professionals in our congregation and in the broader community. Today, we begin with the first foundational messages, some of the myths that we hear about mental health. Our scripture guiding us is 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. You can follow along in your own Bibles if you want to, on your favorite device, or on a screen with me. 1 Thessalonians, it's a tiny little letter in the back of your Bible. Paul, the first century church planter, finishes writing this little letter to the church of Thessalonica, and this is basically his closing thoughts, his benediction, his blessing to the church in this letter. He says, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. The one who calls you is faithful, and God will give you God's peace. Scripture says God's going to do it. God is my peace. Say it with me. God is my peace. Say it again. God is my peace. One more time with feeling. God is my peace. Say it a couple times this week. Pray it a few days. As you are stressed, as you are not stressed, you're just going about your day. Say, God is my peace. One more time. God is my peace. Now, it wasn't that long ago that we didn't talk about mental health stuff in the church. The implication was that you shouldn't be struggling mentally if you're someone that comes to Jesus, because Jesus fixes everything, right? The moment you say, yes, Jesus, you are my Lord, he saves you, he forgives you, he redeems you, he fills you with his peace, his power, he'll never leave you. All of that is absolutely true. That's 100% true. But just because you follow Jesus doesn't mean Jesus fixes every part of your life instantly. Have you ever heard someone say, I called on Jesus, he saved me, all of a sudden I had six-pack abs. Bam, praise the Lord. I gave my life to Jesus and my credit score improved instantly. My bank account went up overnight. My hair got thicker and darker. My thighs got thinner. Hashtag blessed. Just because you go to Jesus, friends, it doesn't mean you become instantly mentally healthy. So as we dive into this foundational message, let's first define what mental health is. It includes at least three parts of who you are: your emotional well-being, your psychological well-being, and your social well-being. Now, it's important to note your mental health, it does not stay static. Now, you can be relatively healthy for a little or a long while, and then something happens. There's a change in your body, you go through trauma, and then it maybe isn't quite so healthy. You may be really healthy one moment, and then something happens, and you're not a great place afterward. Your mental health impacts how you think. That's going to impact how you feel, which is then going to impact how you act. It determines how you handle stress, how you relate to people, what kind of choices you make, how you bounce back from a difficult situation, or maybe how you don't bounce back. It might determine how you cope if you go to the wrong sources for comfort, or it might help you go to the right sources for comfort. It might determine how you choose your friends, or the quality or not so quality of your marriage, if you have a spouse. Now, there are many misunderstandings when it comes to mental health. We're gonna look at just two this morning, especially in connection with church. Now, the first is this: Christians shouldn't struggle with mental health. We shouldn't struggle at all. If you're a Christian because you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you said, "Yes, Jesus, you're my Lord," you shouldn't battle with anxiety, you shouldn't be depressed, you shouldn't be burned out. And if you do struggle with these things, it's your fault. It is your fault you lack faith. You're not praying enough. Or maybe you're praying a lot, you're not praying the right stuff. There's some kind of sin in your life that you've got to confess and get out of your life. And once that's gone, then you won't be anxious or depressed or burned out anymore. Friends, that's wrong. It is flat out wrong. You can follow Jesus and still fight depression. You can be reading your Bible, attending church faithfully, sitting on the front row, lifting your hands for worship, tithing, serving in Legacy Kids, and still struggle to overcome trauma. You can love Jesus and have anxiety to deal with. Now, when you look in Scripture, some of the folks we lift up as the heroes of the faith, some of them very much had mental challenges. There was Elijah. This was the guy who stood down 800 false prophets of Baal. He calls down fire on them and wins the day. And shortly after, he is alone, he is depressed, he wants to die. David, the man after God's own heart, he stands down a giant and says, "Who are you to come against the armies of the living God?" He battled with deep despair, wondering if God had abandoned him. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet, watching his people conquered, led away from their home, never to return again. Jeremiah battled loneliness, insecurity, and at least one point he cursed the very day he was born. If you find yourself like so many people today, if you're struggling with your mental health, you don't know what to do, sometimes the message a church can send is that you just need more of God. You just need more of God. Sure, we all need more of God, but guess what? You might also need more sleep. You might need more of God and a counselor. You might need more of God and a doctor if you need medication or a better diet or if there's hormonal changes you're experiencing. You might need more God and deep therapy. You might need more God and different or better friends. If you are struggling today, and many people are, you might say, "I don't know if I can make it. I'm anxious, I'm depressed, I don't know why. I'm praying, I'm trying, I'm going to church, I'm asking God, I'm trying to do better, and I just can't seem to make it." If you are struggling, it does not mean you're not a good Christian. If you're struggling, it doesn't mean you're not a good Christian. It means that you are a human being. If you are struggling, it means you are a human being. Myth number one is entirely bogus. Christians shouldn't struggle with mental health. Of course we can. Of course we can, because we are only human beings. The second myth you can find around some churches: God doesn't care about your mental health. God doesn't have time. God's too busy. Have you seen what's going on in the world today? You think God's got time to help you deal with your freaky in-laws or whatever you've got going on? When you look at Scripture, though, especially the Psalms, we find the opposite is true, the exact opposite. God cares about everything that you are, your whole person, including your mental health. Now, when you look at the Psalms, you can see this. And we know many of these Psalms, even if we don't spend much time around church or we don't read our Bibles a whole lot, we've absorbed some of these just being in the world. Psalms like, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. God is our refuge and our strength. He is our help, ever-present help in times of trouble." And the one that everybody seems to know, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." When you go to the Psalms, you see just how much God cares for us, and you're going to see people breaking down mentally. Now, there's probably more than one psalm you've seen stuck up on a wall or stitched onto a pillow at someone's house. Today, I'm going to show you one that you've probably never seen stitched onto a pillow. Psalm 88 was written by a guy named Heman. Not He-Man and She-Ra, that's a different thing. This is Heman. He was well-respected. He was a guy everybody looked up to. He had great wisdom from the Lord. He was a talented musician. Says he had a lot of kids. And that usually implied that he was a good parent. He was very, very faithful to the king. This was a man of God. Now, this would have been somebody today. He'd be a leader in the church, in the community. He'd be a business guy. This would be somebody you'd look up to. You'd go to this person for advice. This is the person you'd want for your father-in-law or your dad. That's the kind of guy Heman was. And he wrote one of two psalms that does not have a positive ending. Most of the Psalms, after they lament, after they get what's wrong off their chest, they turn toward God for hope. Heman doesn't do that. It does not end on a hopeful note. How many of us can relate? How many of us can relate to where Heman was when he wrote this psalm? He writes, "For my life is full of troubles, and death draws near. I'm as good as dead, like a strong man with no strength left. They've left me among the dead, and I am like a corpse in a grave. I am forgotten, cut off from your care." He is in a dark place. But notice what he gets right. Even in the middle of his darkness and despair, he still turns towards God. He's still looking for the light, just like you might be doing today. The very thought that you're hurting and you're desperate and you still show up for church, you show up for worship, means, or you're joining us online, it means somewhere in the middle of the darkness, there's still light. You're still turning towards the light, just like Heman was. That is a good thing. He says, "O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out to you by day. I come to you at night. Now hear my prayer. Listen to my cry. God, you're the first place I turn. No matter if it's light or dark, what I'm feeling, God, you are the first place that I turn." Now, even though he's crying out to God, he's not finding the peace that he wants. He says, "Oh Lord, why do you reject me? Why do you turn your face from me?" And the last verse is incredibly haunting. "You have taken away my companions and loved ones. Darkness is my closest friend. Darkness is my closest friend." I'm guessing you've not seen that stitched onto a pillow or put up on a wall in someone's house before. Heman loves God. He's a man of God. This is his present mental and spiritual state. I do love that there isn't a positive ending with this psalm. It means God is not afraid of our honesty. You can love and question God. You may question and worship and still hurt. And when you hurt, God cares. God cares when we feel that darkness is our closest friend. When we find ourselves where Heman was, hopefully well before where he was, we can ask for help. We ask for help from God and from others who know what we're dealing with and can point us in the right direction. After my anxiety attack, I got in to see my primary care doc and more regular appointments with my counselor. I've heard other pastors say this, and I agree 100%. Every pastor, every single pastor should have a counselor to help us process all that we experience. And friends, getting help is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of wisdom. Let me say it again. Getting help is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of wisdom. Getting help, it's not like you're weak, you're dumb, you're bad. It is wise. My anxiety attack was a result of being incredibly overwhelmed with work. Since late November, my anxiety has slowly returned to a baseline, not over days or weeks, but months. I took an anti-anxiety med for Christmas Eve, as my regular doc suggested, just so in, you know, a time of higher stress and anxiety that nothing reoccurred, and it has not, and I've got these meds in case I need them. I saw my counselor again just last Thursday to evaluate strategies and to keep processing all the things I, as pastor, experience. It is so helpful. It is so incredibly helpful to chat with a professional to keep myself in a healthy place mentally and otherwise. Getting help, it is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of wisdom. In the greatest commandment, Jesus tells us to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, our strength, and all of our mind. Our minds are incredibly powerful things. Our minds, from the moment we are born, start making connections, and they evolve rather quickly. Over the first few years of our lives, our brains are making 1 million or so connections every single second. Every second, 1 million or so connections. And they're making neural pathways in our brain. Every second that's happening, and after a while, your brain starts making these shortcuts. They simplify the process called pruning. Your brain gets more efficient. It starts thinking in patterns. So in other words, once you think a thought, it's easier to think again. Once you think a thought, it is easier to access that thought again. It's like creating a mental rut or a pathway. It's easier to think again. Now, way back when we had physical media to listen to music, we used to burn CDs. We'd burn these ruts into CDs and play them in our cars. I had a six disc CD changer in my car. I was really cool. But this is what happens in our brain, like we did with CDs. We burn these mental ruts, these pathways there, so we can access thoughts again. Now, that is really good news if your thoughts are healthy. No matter what comes your way, no matter what people tell you, you have this mental rut that says, God loves me. My friends, my family love and care for me. Even if someone tells you you're not worthy, you've got the mental rut that says, I am worthy. God loves me. My friends and family care for me. Now, the bad news is when you don't have those ruts like that. The bad news, if the repeated messages you put in your brain are not being worthy, you're not loved, God doesn't love you, or you're focusing on one small mistake that you keep repeating over and over again, we can also dig bad news ruts, neural pathways in our brain. So if your body's not healthy, what do? You go to a doctor. You might change your diet. You exercise. You get treatment for where your body is unhealthy. If your mind's unhealthy, what do? You go to a doctor, to a counselor, just like I did. You should also go to the great physician who can help renew your mind. Both professionals and God can help you train your mind and shut it down when you need to sleep, when you need to rest, when you need to recover. I needed to disconnect from work. For us adults, we can change our thought patterns, but they're a bit more entrenched than they are than our confirmation students today. They can keep tweaking and adjusting their thoughts a little easier than we older folks can. And it is incredibly amazing today. They're taking faith seriously now, making those neural pathways, those ruts, to find peace in God. That bodes well. That bodes very well for a future with a great foundation spiritually and mentally. Now, there's one verse I want to share with you that can help make those good neural pathways in your brain. If you're seeking peace of mind today, here is Isaiah 26, 3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. You'll be in perfect peace. Perfect peace, not just occasional peace when everything's going the way you want, not just momentary peace when you feel good in that moment, not just circumstantial peace, but perfect peace always. What is perfect peace? Perfect peace is actually a translation of the Hebrew word shalom. And shalom isn't just peace in this moment of feelings. It's entire wholeness, peace always, regardless of what's happening around you. But in this verse, the person isn't writing just peace, shalom. They're writing shalom, shalom. And anytime we see that word repeated, it's for emphasis. This is shalom exponential. It's like if your kids are acting up in the car and you're driving along and you yell back there, "Don't make me come back there. Don't make me come back there." As you repeat things for emphasis, you want them to get it. That's what we've got here. Shalom, shalom. Who's going to experience this perfect peace from God? Those whose thoughts are fixed on CNN or Fox News or your newsfeed? Those who are sitting just scrolling social media all day long? No, you're going to keep in perfect peace those who focus on God, who focus on the Lord. The word fix in Hebrew is translated from samach, and that word means to prop, to put your full weight onto something. We're supposed to put all of our full weight, our anxiety, all of our feelings onto God. Because like so many people right now, many people are not doing great. There is tension. You might feel heaviness. You're worried about all kinds of stuff. You just don't know where to turn. You might not even like your job anymore. You're not really liking really people around you. You're just not okay. Shalom, shalom, perfect peace, nowhere to be found. One of the things we need to do, one of the things I needed to do, one of the things I still need to do is disconnect my mind from what's unhelpful and connect it to God who is helpful, to fix our thoughts on God, to create those new neural pathways. We renew our mind, not being conformed to what everyone else does, not to give into the craziness, the toxicity, the hatefulness, the bitterness, the negativity. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Instead of getting overwhelmed and doing it all on my own power, I need to remind myself daily, God is my source and my strength. God is my peace. Say it with me. God is my peace. God is my strength. It's not my power. It is God's power. According to Scripture, God's given me everything I need, the people I need, the resources I need, the counselor I need, the friends I need, the strength I need. God's given me everything I need over and over again. And you and me, we'll be kept in perfect peace whose thoughts are fixed on God. So I started changing my thoughts and patterns, my habits, and I was healed instantly. Right? No, I was not. It is ongoing. This series is actually 7 weeks. This is one of the longer series that we've done because guess what? Mental health takes time. I'm doing better today than I was last November. I keep working and praying and seeing the professionals that help me see the perfect peace as we focus our thoughts on God. Remember, friends, remember, asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of wisdom. Let's pray together. Jesus, as we move through a new week, may we find the perfect peace as we fix our thoughts, as we put the full weight of what we deal with on you. May we not be afraid to ask for and to seek out the help that we need from others and from the professionals who have our best interests at heart, just like you do. May your Holy Spirit help us feel that perfect peace that comes from you and you alone. It's in your resurrected name. We pray together. Amen.